This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. So glad you're joining us this morning on this beautiful Sunday. I'm Jason Laidler, here with the world-famous Ted Walshin. Hello, Ted. How are you?
I'm very well. Welcome to the long weekend. It's the final day of July and holiday Monday tomorrow for many people. It's a Simcoe Day here in Ontario, at least. In other parts of the country, it's something else.
I think you should take tomorrow off, Ted.
Off what?
So I don't think a lot of people call it Simcoe Day. I learned that in school, and you probably did too, but it's a civic holiday. Civic holiday.
Yeah, I think it's a demographic thing, you know?
And I'm going to maybe embarrass myself here if I get this wrong. Lord Grey Simcoe, was he the first lieutenant governor or the first governor general?
You got me there. Could be the lieutenant governor.
I think he might have been the first lieutenant governor of Ontario. And I think his wife was a Gwillem. And that's why there's an East Gwillimbury where I used to live. North of the city.
I know where that
just
is.
Just north of Newmarket.
Yeah.
A township called East Gwillimbury. Mm-hmm. And that's Holland Landing, Sharon, Mount Albert, a few other small nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. And that Gwillem, I believe, Gwillimbury is from the Gwillem, which I think was Lord Simcoe's wife. Anyway, happy holiday, happy long weekend. Glad you're joining us on this episode of the Avoid Probate Show. There's other things happening today besides being the last day of the month. Of course, interestingly, Jump for Jelly Beans Day, Ted.
Yes. Who was the president that was fond of
Reagan.
Jelly beans? That's right.
Reagan. I was going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
And he got admonished by some dentist, and he wasn't impressed with the letter that he got from some dentist.
And then what was it? It was George Bush the First who hated... What did he hate? Broccoli? Asparagus? Broccoli.
I don't know the answer to that.
I think it was broccoli.
I have a guilty pleasure for jelly beans, I have to admit. And I try really hard not to eat them because I know they're just pure sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of tasty.
But you know, you get, because there's a whole family of jelly beans, as it were, right? Because there's jelly beans and then there are gummies. And now gummies are medicinal
they're
gummies.
They're not the same.
No, they're not.
They should make medicinal jelly beans.
I'm sure they are.
Come on.
Why not? Well, by medicinal, I mean, you know, prepared with cannabinoids.
Uh-huh.
Cannabis.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. People take it for pain, discomfort.
Yeah, but I just don't know if it comes in like a jelly bean form.
Wouldn't surprise me. You could pretty much mean everything.
Maybe that's your next project.
Okay.
You can corner the market.
I'll find out. I'll try them, and then I'll forget to come in.
Okay. Well, we need you here, man, because, you know, you're pivotal. You're vital. You're part of the fabric of the Avoid Probate Show every Sunday morning.
Oh, stop.
Okay, I'll stop there.
It's Mutts Day.
What?
Mutts Day. Hmm. You know, you talk to a lot of, and I'm thinking that this is in reference to dogs that are not purebred.
I don't know what else mutts would refer to.
I don't either. It's not the Clamato juice. That's mutts.
Right.
Mutts, if you talk to a lot of veterinarians, and they recommend not buying, at least the ones that I know, will tell you, don't buy purebred animals, buy the mutts, because there's such a shortage of them. And less predisposed to...
Yeah, it's a gene pool thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Inbreeding and all that stuff, right?
It's like the royal family.
Yeah, maybe that's what it's referring to.
Yeah, okay, here come the cards and letters.
Yeah, okay.
You can come in, just kidding.
Her Majesty.
Yeah.
I know so many people who rescue dogs, and usually they're mutts that are being rescued, and the dogs are lovely. And I'm a dog guy.
Same way.
And the dogs amazing. And I'm like, really? Good for you, A, for rescuing this dog, and B, what a great dog.
And why do they call them rescue dogs?
Because they're in the pound.
But they're rescued dogs. They're not rescuing anybody. You're rescuing them.
Well, whatever.
A rescue dog is someone who goes in after a building collapses and finds people.
Like a cadaver dog.
Well, that's cadaver dog. Those are different dogs. Cadaver dogs are strictly to find deceased people. Rescue dogs will go in and search for people that are still living.
I had the pleasure of traveling through Pearson recently, and I had to go past.
You're the first person who's used the word pleasure at Pearson Airport in the same sentence
in a long time.
Two months.
I know.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be. Maybe, although the flight was delayed 3.5 hours. That's not Pearson's fault, I guess. It was the airline's fault, which I won't name, the national airline. Anyway, I can't remember now if the dog was here or coming back from my destination, but very cool, you know, young lady with this dog, and the dog just goes back and forth as people walk through the little corral, and the dog did not stop or attack me, so that was good. And one more thing before, we are going to talk about probate stuff. Glad you're joining us, of course, to learn something about probate today. We're going to get there after the first break. Before we go to the break, we have to acknowledge that it's Uncommon Instruments Awareness Day. We couldn't let that one go.
And uncommon is one of those terms that means something here and not something there.
Probably.
Like, do you know what a bandura is?
Is it a breakfast cereal?
It's a Ukrainian instrument. It's like a cross between a zither and a lute. It's
I don't think I even know what a zither is.
It's a stringed instrument. It can be up to 65 strings.
Come on, 65.
65 strings, yeah.
What'd you say it was called?
A bandura.
And you've seen this thing, like, in real life?
Yeah, I had a cousin who played it.
Wow.
Yeah. He had to grow really heavy, strong fingernails. Right? Yeah. And just put this shellac on it, right? And mm-hmm. you pluck away at them. It's really quite a beautiful sounding instrument.
Well, I'll give you that. I'm not familiar. I'll have to look it up after the show.
See, now that's uncommon here.
Listen to it on the way
home. But go to Ukraine, and it's not uncommon at all.
Well, I mean, I think regular listeners will know that the show opens with a little bit of bagpipes. They are electronic bagpipes. They don't sound quite like the regular island bagpipe. That's me on the electronic bagpipes. And it's not so uncommon, I don't think, these days, the bagpipes. You don't see them everywhere. Well, you kind of do, depending on where you go. I see them everywhere, but lots of people don't. And lots of people are quite intrigued. If I do an event, I was going to say funeral, yeah, well, whatever the event is, a birthday party, Robbie Burns Day, a funeral, whatever the event is, inevitably people want to come up and have a look and ask questions about how it works and is it hard to play and all that stuff. There are way more, there's many versions of what I said was the Great Highland Bagpipe. There's smaller pipes, there's indoor pipes, there's shuttle pipes, there's Irish pipes. The Irish pipes are called Julian pipes and you play that with a bellow. So the guy or girl playing Julian pipes with a bellow, squeezing the bellow under his arm instead of blowing into the bag, that person can sit down and sing a song while they're playing a version of bagpipes. Whereas, you know, the Highland Piper can't do that because he's filling the bag with his
right.
with his mouth and his lungs. What about the kazoo? Can you play the kazoo, Ted?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, should we try?
No, I don't think so.
I have one right here.
Oh, look at the time. I think we need to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to introduce you to episode number one of Solving the Probate Puzzle with Debbie Stanley.
So excited.
Yeah, and we introduced the concept to you last week, and then today begins episode number one. So stay with us for that and more as the Avoid Probate Show continues.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Avoid problems you didn't know you had.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid all that red tape.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid high fees.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid a long wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid expensive fines.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid uncertainty.
Avoidprobate.ca.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of Avoidprobate.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show, and welcome to episode number one of a brand new segment entitled Solving the Probate Puzzle with Debbie Stanley. Debbie is with ETP Canada. You can reach her via email at dstanley@etpcanada.ca. Hello, Debbie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very excited for this segment. Jason and I have been talking about it. He hasn't slept for like 3 weeks.
That's right. I'm so excited. Glad you're here. We set this up last week. I just want to remind the listeners.
Yep.
Hopefully they heard it. We prompted them, preempted them, whatever you want to call it. We warned them that this was happening and told them that not to miss this week one. And here we are, and I'm excited.
Hopefully all the listeners, too.
Yeah, so the idea, very simply, is that you have a case, a client who is, in fact, now battling the probate demon, as it were. And so we're going to follow that from beginning to end. Whether this thing takes 6 weeks or 16 months, just to give people an idea, because Jason is here to help you avoid probate. But in many cases, Jason gets calls from people saying, listen, you know, my father died, my grandfather died. Can you help me avoid probate? Well, at that point, it's too late. But there are things you can do to make life easier on yourself and your family as you move forward, which is where you come into play. So what we're doing is we're giving you both scenarios here, avoiding it and then dealing with it if you have not avoided it. So you have a case study. You don't have to tell us who it is. In fact, we don't want to know any names or any banks, anything in particular, but just in general, what kind of case study are we looking at?
Well, we're looking at an estate that, you know, is actually relatively simple. However, there wasn't proper estate planning put into place, so it actually could have avoided a little bit of probate on this one, and that's why I thought this was a great case for us to go through together. So on paper, relatively simple, but we have to go through the probate process, which made it a bit more complicated.
What's the first thing that you have to do when someone contacts you and says, I have a relative who has recently passed, they have left a sizable sum of money, property, etc.? What is it that you do first of all?
So first of all, when a potential client phones us, we ask them some questions, the basic ones like, is there a will? Who's the executor? Does the executor want to be the executor? And what type of assets are we looking at? Because some assets don't need to go through probate. So if someone has a cash in their mattress and that's basically it for their estate, then we could probably avoid it. However, if there is investments and other types of assets that must go through the probate process, then we know where we lie.
Okay, and my question then is, let's back up even one more step. So how did this file find you? Can you talk about that for a second?
Yes, so I'll give you a little rundown about this estate. The family found us through our website, which is always exciting because we never know how well that's working.
Yeah.
And it's actually the widower of the deceased. So we're going to call this estate the estate of chocolate chip because I was eating some chocolate chips last night.
Okay. That's interesting.
So we have Mr. Chip, who passed away in May, and his wife phoned us to just find out whether or not they needed to go through with this process. So our question was, did he have a will?
Yeah.
And in this case, Mr. Chip did in fact have a will, which was great. And in his will, it named his wife, who I may mention is his actual second wife, okay, and his sister. The sister does not want to be the executor. She's older in age and has some health deterioration, so she's currently contemplating whether or not she would like to renounce because an executor does not have to accept the role. However, the wife would like to move forward with being the executor.
Interesting.
So then we went through and asked her, okay, what types of assets are we looking at? And here's where it actually gets interesting, and I'm really curious to hear Jason's take on this. But the deceased, he had a home that was in his name only. He purchased it after the first marriage failed, It stayed with his name only. And he's owned it actually since 1989. So it's worth about $1.5 million. He then had a non-registered account with about $1 million in there. And then he had two other non-registered accounts, which he was actually putting money aside for his two children. So had an account for one child, but only in his name, and then had an account for another child only in his name, but the intention was that he was saving up for these two children. So each one has about $300,000 in there.
Well, there's so much there already to unpack and comment on.
Right? I thought you would like this. Then we have a checking account in his name only with about $20,000. And then personal property, various odds and sods that accumulated to about $10,000. So based on these values, we know, okay, there needs to be probate. We have an estate that's worth about $3.1 million. We have an actual real estate property that has to be dealt with, and then several million in the bank accounts. He had joint assets with his wife, but because it was the second marriage, they were strategic on what they wanted to be passed on to the wife and then what he wanted to go through to his right. estate for his two children mm-hmm. split with his second wife.
So there were no kids between them then?
No kids between them.
Right.
Yes. So if we look at these assets, I mean, there was things that I thought, boy, if there was just even proper planning put in place, as strategic as they were trying to be with their assets, something like having a second will for that property would have saved in probate tax. It would have reduced his estate value to $1.6 million.
Or a bare trust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, we'll talk about what the solution is and what the solution could have been later on in the show. That's a lot of info, and I want to point out that quite often I tell couples, you don't really have to worry about probate on the first death, but here, that's not true. And I know there's exceptions to that rule, and I've talked about the situation where grandpa passes and he's been in the house for 60 years and grandma all of a sudden has to deal with probate because she was never put on title. That's what's happened here, right? The spouse
that's
was
exactly
not
it.
On title. And it doesn't happen very often these days, but it does happen. It happened 50 years ago when grandma didn't have a job anyway. So the and you know, it was the man's thing to buy the house, and he was the breadwinner, and he went on title, and mom never went on title. And now that's coming back to bite some people in the you-know-what, and they're shocked. They're shocked to hear that 60 years later, grandma's got to pay $20,000 in probate fees to keep the house that she's been in all this time.
So what have you done at this point? You've contacted the bank, I take it?
So at this point, yes, the wife has gone off to the bank to contact them and obtain the date of death values. So that happened about a week ago. We're still waiting for those values so that we can list them on the probate application. We have all of the personal information. So we have the deceased information, the wife's information, and the children's information. But we're currently stuck in the holding pattern of obtaining the asset values.
Interesting. And sometimes that can take a long time, right? I mean, in this case,
yes.
it's relatively simple in this case because the bank knows what the value was on this day. But if there was a business involved in the estate, now you got a problem because you now have to get a certified business valuator in. It's very expensive. It takes time.
Exactly.
So it can take a long time to provide these numbers that you're waiting for. I don't think it's going to take a long time in this case, but I'm just saying it can.
No, but it will still take some time. The house needs to have a professional appraisal because the market's
right.
a bit funny right now. So we have an appraiser going in.
Did you set up the appraiser?
We provided a few different contacts, and then they could choose from that person.
Okay. Well, I think maybe we can leave it there. That's a lot of info in week one. I mean, what do you think? What's your prediction for the next step, which we'll talk about next week?
Yeah, so the next steps, providing that we get all of the asset values, would be us putting together all the paperwork and sending it to the family for their review, the wife specifically, for her approval, so that we can sign all the documents and submit them to court. But it will depend on the banks. We are dealing with three separate financial institutions, mm-hmm. so while one might be mm-hmm. quick, another might be slow,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's summertime. People go on holidays.
Yes, I'm familiar with dealing with the banks in the summertime.
Boy, if you really want to heavy down your load, use three banks,
I
not
know.
One.
I know, and we talk about all the time, simplify your life. Now, I don't know how old, did you say how old this gentleman was who passed, did you say?
He was 78.
78, okay, so if a 78-year-old calls the toll-free number and talks to my mom and I get a chance to reply and talk to this person, I'm going to say at the age of 78, it's really time to start simplifying things. And I see these people with multiple checking accounts and multiple TFSAs and just layers of complexity that don't need to be there. And mm-hmm. let's simplify your life, like, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I actually asked, why did they use three different institutions? And she said they were diversifying.
Yeah, okay. Whatever.
All right. Okay, well, there you go. We'll check in with you next week, as we will each and every other week. Debbie Stanley is with ETP Canada. You can reach her. Email is dstanley@etpcanada.ca, and your website is?
etpcanada.ca.
There you go, just like that.
All right.
Have a good week.
Thanks, Debbie.
We'll chat with you next week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye.
We'll take a break and come back with more of the Avoid Probate Show. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
My name is Marilyn, and I avoided probate.
Marilyn is a good daughter who wants the best for her elderly mom.
Why is she overdrawn on her account? What's going on here?
Her mom had money, much of which was tied up in non-registered accounts like GICs, paying next to no interest, which meant
she was dipping into her capital big time because the residence she was staying in was very costly. So she was overdrawn on her account 4 times a month.
Marilyn wanted to disperse the money for her mom's needs using her power of attorney. The bank refused, saying the accounts were in her mom's name only, and then rubbed salt in the wound.
They pushed it back on the family and said it was all our fault. We should have been on top of it, not them.
That's when Marilyn got a hold of Jason at avoidprobate.ca. He accompanied Marilyn to the bank to move mom's money. Why?
The insurance companies now have as many, if not more, investment options than the banks have. Plus, we can also put a 100% death benefit guarantee on the account once it's at the insurance company. Anybody who has non-registered accounts at the bank needs to look into the services we provide at avoidprobate.ca.
I don't know how long my mother is going to live. None of us know. So my thing was, if she lives to 100, there'll be more than enough money to sustain her.
How was avoidprobate.ca able to help Marilyn's mom?
It's a good news story. The account is earning much more than it did when it was at the bank in a low-paying GIC. But more importantly, it's still 100% mom's money. There's no joint owner on the account, but there is a beneficiary on the account, which wasn't there before.
Which means no tax issues and no probate to worry about.
I share my story with as many people as I can, and I hand out Jason's cards to lots of people and say, call this man. He'll walk you through it.
Call us at avoidprobate.ca on the toll-free number, but call us before your mom or dad passes away. That's when we can help you.
Avoid probate like Marilyn did with avoidprobate.ca. Call 1-844-667-7628.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Jason Laidler. I'm Ted Wallachin, and as usual, the information provided in this program is for general consumption only. It is not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation, of course, is different. So if you have a legal or investment question, you should speak with a licensed expert. We have those on board, in addition to Jason, of course. And you can contact us by email at info@avoidprobate.ca. That's info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. Jason.
Okay, thanks, Ted. Listen, that was a fantastic week one with Debbie Stanley talking about this new probate file, real-life file. I hesitate to say a real-life file because he's not really living anymore, but you know what I mean? And I just wanted to follow up on that a little bit because she mentioned there could have been more planning that was done, and of course, that's probably true for most people, but that's what we're here for. We want to provide this solution. It's a unique solution. So many people say, I've never heard of this before. And what I'm talking about is the transfer of assets from the bank or the credit union or wherever they happen to be over to an insurance company. And why do we do that? Because if this gentleman had done that and transferred, I think she said he had 3 different non-registered accounts. You cannot put a beneficiary on the non-registered account at the bank, hence the probate requirement, the probate problem, the probate nightmare. So if we had moved that money, and at the age of 78, the transfer cost nothing because it cost nothing as long as you're under the age of 85, we would have moved that over to an insurance company. And we're independent advisors, so we have a selection of insurance companies that we can choose to use. And I've got my favorites, and I will explain why when we have, if and when we sit down for that no-cost consultation, I can explain why I'm recommending this one over this one and this investment option over this investment option, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, you know, we do the transfer. We want to do the transfer for you. It doesn't cost you anything most of the time. And once it's moved, he could have named, I think he said he had two, I think Debbie said he had two boys. He could have named the boys, you know, 50-50 or whatever. Doesn't have to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. We see situations where it's not 50-50 mm-hmm. for some reason, for good reasons. It's up to you.
Well, you could have one child who's extremely successful, yeah. making $1 million a year, and the other one is making $35,000.
Exactly. So whatever the mix is, that's we have that conversation as well, and we can set that up. Name the beneficiaries. That's not carved in stone. That can be adjusted if circumstances change. You know, maybe the guy making $35,000 gets a new job, and now he's making $135,000. So yeah. Whatever. I mean, if things change, and they do, of course. Then we can change along with the change in circumstances, but we want to do that transfer before mom or dad passes away, because it's just we can't avoid the probate after the fact, and that's what we're seeing, you know, with this file that Debbie's working on. You know, we could have done that transfer, and I'm not blaming anybody because people don't know that this is an option. The bank is not going to tell you to move your money. I say that all the time. It's the best kept secret in the country. The bank's not going to tell you to move your money. Their solution to the problem, make it joint. They would say, add one of your adult sons onto the account. I had a conversation just yesterday with somebody about this. It happens all the time. The gentleman said, well, in fact, he had two sons. And he was asking me about adding the sons onto the account. And I said, no, I don't like it. He's like, well, why not? It will avoid the probate. I said, that's true. It will avoid the probate, but there's a better way to do it. Because if we do the transfer, and this gentleman was also under the age of 85, so it's not going to cost him anything either. We move the money over to the insurance company, add the boys as beneficiaries. Let's again assume it's 50-50 or whatever. That avoids the probate, and it also avoids what I described to him as potential taxation complications, because now there's three owners of the account instead of just one. It avoids ownership challenges, potentially. I don't want to get into that right now, but we could talk about it another day. And it avoids, mainly, more importantly, maybe than anything else, it avoids what I call exposure and third-party exposure. So you add two sons to the account. Okay, well, what's the credit rating like? What's their status? Is anybody being sued? What's their marital status like? It's not just the sons that you're adding exposure from. It's their spouses as well. And I asked him if they had spouses. He said, yeah. So, if the marriage ends, that money's on the table and it's not necessary. If the goal is just to avoid the probate, okay, we can do that. We'll just do the transfer over to the insurance company and name them as beneficiaries. Solve the problem. If the goal is to have them on the account so they can help mom or dad manage the money if and when mom and dad need help managing things, well, again, that's what power of attorney is for. And he said, well, we already have power of attorney. I'm like, okay, I'm kind of making a mailbag item here. But, I just wanted to make the point in light of, as follow up to what Debbie just reported to us, which I thought was fantastic. And I'm so excited. I'm so looking forward to how this file plays out over time. And it's going to take time. I think you said something about 6 weeks. And I'm like, no, there's no way.
No, I said it could take 6 weeks, could take 16 months.
Right. And the point's a good point. There's just, I'll take that bet that it's going to be a lot longer than 6 weeks. That's for sure. And I think it's probably going to be closer to 16 months. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. And it's unique content that we're doing here on the Avoid Probate Show. Sunday morning, AM 740, Zoomer Radio. Glad you're joining us. If you're just joining us, hopefully you'll become a regular listener. We are talking about probate stuff, in particular how to avoid the probate stuff, because there's a way to avoid it. And she mentioned the second will, which of course is an option, and I mentioned the Bare Trust, B-A-R-E. The Bare Trust is a effective way of avoiding the probate on property, whether it's the condo, a bungalow, the cottage, or both, or all of the above, a commercial property, any real estate. We can use this thing called a Bare Trust to avoid the probate on the real estate. It doesn't affect your control. It doesn't affect your ability to sell the property. Mom or dad, they're not giving up control by putting the property in a Bare Trust. They're just avoiding the probate. It's got nothing to do with Revenue Canada and how the property is taxed by CRA. It doesn't change anything. And having said that, if it's your principal residence, it's tax-free. So it remains tax-free. For now, there are rumors that the Prime Minister might want to fiddle around with that current situation, but they're just rumors. Nothing official has come down the pipe yet. Scary, though. Scary to think that, the main tax-free asset may one day not be tax-free. I hope we don't see that day. I don't think it would be popular politically. We don't do politics here on the Avoid Probate Show, but I do not. I don't think it would be popular. How could it be? You know, a new tax on your house, it's not going to be popular. It may never happen. It may never happen. I'm just telling you that there are rumors. You know, COVID was expensive. We're not supposed to talk about COVID either, but here I'm breaking all the rules.
No, but these are realities. These are the things that move metrics, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, the house, I say the house. I shouldn't say the house. Your principal residence. Again, whether it's a house, a condo, whatever it is, even a trailer can count.
Sure.
It's legit. I mean, if you live there, it's legit, and it's a principal residence. And if you're on the title and you own it, then whatever the gain is, regardless of the size of the gain and how long you've been there for, right now, that's a tax-free gain. And there's only one other place to get a tax-free gain, which is the TFSA. And the TFSA is capped, right? It's heavily, heavily regulated because it's a tax-free gain.
And it's not going up the rate that homes were.
That's true. Right. I mean, $6,000 for 2022, the new contribution room for the TFSA was $6,000. All right. Well, $6,000 is $6,000. And you just, you know, you add it up every year. And it's not use it or lose it. We've talked about this. If you've never opened a TFSA before, you still have all that unused room. I think this is the 9th year. It might be the 10th. I stand to be corrected on that. It's 9th or 10th year since the TFSA has been introduced. And the annual contribution amounts have changed drastically over that period of time. I think it was 10,000 and change for 1 or 2 years. And that got clawed back to the 6,000 that we're at now. And it's a decision by the federal government. They will say before the year's over, I imagine, what next year's contribution limit will be. It will go up. It has to, I mean, at least go up with inflation over time, I would think. Anyway, it's $6,000 today. If you've never opened a plan, we can do that for you. We don't just deal with the non-registered stuff here at avoidprobate.ca. We often are moving registered money. The TFSA is a form of a registered account. What does that mean? Well, there's rules, there's regulations, there's stipulations, there's maximums and minimums and all that stuff like I just described. It's registered with the government. The government knows if you have overcontributed. And I just read an article, actually, interestingly. A lot of Canadians are still struggling with overcontributions. They're still confused with how the overcontribution thing works. I guess I might as well finish the thought here and just explain that if you had 50 grand in your TFSA today, you can take it out. It's not locked in. It's your money. You can take it out. But you can't replace the 50 grand until the calendar year changes. As soon as the calendar year changes, that 50 grand of room becomes available again. But a lot of people are making withdrawals and replenishing the plan before the calendar year changes, and that's getting them into hot water. The penalties are steep, and CRA is still cracking down on this stuff, and it's hard for people to understand how these rules work. It's relatively new. The RSP has been around since 1957. Most people have figured out how the RSP works, especially if you're a certain age. You know, our clients. Most of our clients aren't even eligible for RSPs anymore because at 71, you've got to change it from an RSP to something else. And usually that's a RIF. Doesn't have to be, but usually it is. So most people are familiar with how the RSP works. Not everybody. I still meet people on a regular basis who don't understand how the RSP works. And a question I get on a regular basis is, well, what should I do? Should I make a TFSA contribution or an RSP contribution? Assuming you're under the age of 71 and you can still make an RSP contribution, that's a common question. Well, that's a good question. It just totally depends on your situation. We can assess that. How do we assess that? We provide no-cost consultations. I wanted to talk about this today. We've had a couple of questions and a couple of calls. You know, can I have a meeting? I want more information. What's it going to cost me? The consultations are free of charge. And I kind of hate to say it because it's not like we're not providing value when we have these meetings. We are providing value. We're answering a lot of questions in about a 45-minute time frame, give or take a few minutes, depending on the complexity of the situation. They're all different, of course, and that's why you should book a consultation, because they are all different. And it's not a cookie-cutter thing, and, you know, it's not one, what's the expression, one stroke applies to all or something. It's not like that,
mm-hmm.
Right? It's very individual. So we're happy to do that. We're happy to travel to your place. We have been traveling. Another call from Listowel. I don't know. Hello, Listowel listeners, man. Like, you guys are awesome. I can't believe how many calls we're getting from Listowel and west of Listowel. I had to get the map out because I had an idea where it is.
The home of Corey Connors.
Yeah, you said that last time.
The hottest pro golfer in Canada right now.
Okay, I'll take your word for that.
That's, why would I lie at this point in our relationship?
I don't know. It's a good question. Okay, listen, I kind of went off on a tangent there. I've got a few other bits and pieces, some other information I want to share. We're going to talk about FinTrack. What's FinTrack? Have you ever heard of FinTrack?
No.
Okay, good. That means probably most of the listeners haven't heard about it either, but it's a big deal, and it's part of the consultation process that I was just talking about a minute ago. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because it does come up in the consultation. I'll explain more about that. And if I've got time, the other thing I'm going to talk about is the Ontario photo card. You know what that is?
Yep.
The purple card. Do you have one?
I don't need it. I have ID. I have other
you
ID.
You have other ID. Okay.
I have a OHIP and I have a driver's license.
Okay, that's right. You're still driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they haven't taken that away from you yet?
No reason.
They haven't seen you driving lately?
I'm fine. No okay. problem. No wants, no warrants.
Stay off the sidewalks in Mississauga.
I'm cool.
Okay, we'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Avoid problems you didn't know you had.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid all that red tape.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid high fees.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid a long wait.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid expensive fines.
Avoidprobate.ca.
Avoid uncertainty.
Avoidprobate.ca.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And a good morning once again. Welcome back. This is the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Walsh and Jason Laidler. And we invite you to join us on our website. That's where we live. Tiny rooms in the back. It's avoidprobate.ca, www, of course, dot avoid. Although nowadays, I think you can just go avoidprobate.ca and you'll
for
get
sure.
it anyway.
Yep.
There is a free probate calculator. You can play with that and give an idea of how much probate you might be paying on your estate. And also there's a link which takes you back to previous programs as well. And as usual, you can call us at 1-844-667-7628 or email info@avoidprobate.ca.
So, Ted, just before the break, we were talking about Listowel, right?
Yes.
And Kelly spoke to me in my headphones and mentioned that apparently it's the location of that show Letterkenny. Mm-hmm. Is it Letterkenny?
Letterkenny.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yes. Very, very funny show. And now there's a sequel to it called Shorzy.
Which I have not seen.
It's about a hockey player. And that's shot in Sudbury, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
And have you watched the spinoff?
Yeah.
Okay. It's worth watching?
Yes, it is. It's very funny.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Very funny.
All right, well, that's good to know. So,
warned, though, the content is a little on the blue side.
On the blue side.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, let's move on a little bit here. I mentioned FinTrack. FinTrack is obviously an acronym. It's not a real word. Stands for, it's a mouthful, here we go, Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada. One more time, just for fun. Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada. No wonder they've shortened it to FinTrack. And, well, I'll just read the blurb. I got it off the FinTrack website. It says, the financial transactions, and there's a reason I'm doing this. I'll come back to that in a second. The Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada, FinTrack, is Canada's financial intelligence unit. Its mandate is to facilitate the detection, prevention, and deterrence of money laundering and the financing of terrorist activities while ensuring the protection of personal information under its control. Okay, that's a mouthful, but it's basically what I tell people is it's an anti-money laundering form. So if we're going to move some money from the bank over to the insurance company, the government, the intelligence people want to make sure that we're not moving this money for Ted Walsh and because it's part of his financing terrorism activities. And so there's a FinTrack form that I need people to complete, and it's part of the process. It's part of the consultation. I have to do it or I'm in trouble. And so, of course, you know, I provide the proper forms. And the form mainly just asks if you have connections to the United States, if you pay U.S. taxes at all, or if you're connected to, if you have citizenship other than U.S. or Canada. And then it dives deeper into your political connections. And there are several questions about your political affiliations. Not so much like what party did you vote for? It's not like that. The question is anybody in your immediate family, you know, a mayor, an MP, a politician, or whatever, of any kind, anywhere on the planet? So they want to just check for the politics of you. Not who you voted for in the last provincial election. That's not a question, obviously, on the form, but they do want to know if you have affiliations with people who are in politics. And if you have, you know, residency or tax status other than Canada. Mm-hmm. So that's what FinTrack does. And, you know, money laundering is a big deal. They say it's got a lot to do with the recent property value spikes, you know, the increasing cost of housing. It's one way money launderers, I should say, well, terrorists or money launderers, one of the ways they can launder their money. And laundering money, by the way, in case you're not clear, takes proceeds of crime and makes them legit, sort of, right? So you've got money that you earned, well, not earned. You have money to help me out.
Let's say you make money selling drugs. That's illegal money. Now you take that money and you go buy a house,
right,
which is a legal purchase.
Right.
But that money, that dirty money, has now flowed into a bank.
Right.
So now they're holding on to the dirty money. So you've now laundered that money.
Yeah, you've cleaned it.
Yeah,
right.
And that's one of the most popular ways of doing it is through homes.
Yep.
And the next one, I believe, is artwork.
Artwork. Okay, I would have said something else. I would have said the casino.
Yeah, but the casino, you can't guarantee that you're going to win your money back. At least when you're buying artwork, you're getting something for it. You can go in a casino and just lose all your money, but what's the point of losing money?
I heard, I don't know if there's truth to it or not, but I heard that there's money launderers out there who will give you $100,000. They'll say, Ted, here's $100,000. Go to the casino and take your chances. And if you blow it, don't worry about it. But if you win, then I'll see you next week, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that's happening because there's so much dirty money out there that mm-hmm. They're getting regular Joes because, you know, the casino is watching who's coming in. There's cameras everywhere. So they know who the dealers are, let's say. And, but if, you know, Jason Laidler walks in because I haven't been there in 12 months or whatever it is, they don't care. It doesn't raise alarms.
Yeah.
So I walk in and I throw $10,000 on a roulette wheel on four black or whatever, and it hits or it doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening. So
what I do is when I get a hold of dirty money, what I use, I use it to pay off my Rogers bills. Because it's pretty much a wash.
Careful. Listen, man, it's not a good time of the year to get sued, okay?
No, that's just such sarcasm. That's not, it's okay. It's,
all right.
It's satire. It's not really meant to be anything but satire.
I'm happy to say I was unaffected.
I
was unaffected.
Actually, that's not true. Everybody was affected in one way or another, because if you use a debit card,
uh-huh.
you couldn't use the debit card.
Well, I mentioned that I went through Pearson recently, so I wasn't even in the country.
Yeah.
So I was completely unaffected.
Yeah, you're right.
When it happened, and I got notified by people who were in Canada that, yeah, it was happening. And yeah, okay. The last thing I want to talk about, and we'll jump to the mailbag before we wrap it up for the week here. Yeah, I mentioned the photo ID. Why do I mention that? Because again, getting back to the consultation, when we meet face to face, I need, and this is related to FinTrack, I need ID. I can't open an account for you at the insurance company without ID. I just can't do it. And you mentioned the OHIP card. It doesn't qualify.
Because it's no address.
Because there's no address on the card, which I think is silly.
But there's no address on your passport either.
I'll take your word for it. I don't have my passport in front of me, but there's no address on your passport?
I don't think so.
I think, well, you put
not,
an address.
Not an actual address, street.
But when
address.
You apply for a passport, you give them your address.
Well, sure. When you apply for your OHIP card, you give them an address too.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get it.
Yeah. Comes in the mail. So. Okay. Anyway.
That's the government.
It's something that we are having to deal with because maybe it's a mailbag story here. You know, meeting recently a lovely young lady in her 70s. That's young compared to her dad, who's 90, and he's got no valid photo government ID. In other words, he hasn't driven in 10 years, the driver's license is expired, and the passport is expired. So what else is there? There's a health card. I can't take it. They won't let us take it. They let us take it in the height of COVID, when like everything was shut down.
Right, right.
Because people's IDs were expiring left, right, and center, and you couldn't renew them.
But now he just has to go to Service Ontario and get his picture taken.
That's right. But he's not very mobile. And the daughter said to me, he's not going to be happy having to go to Service Ontario. I said, I think you can get it online. You cannot. I wanted to share that little tidbit with the listeners as well. You can't. You can renew it online, but you can't apply for it online. And I don't understand why. Maybe it's a photo thing.
It's so you the reason you have to go to Service Ontario is because you need to get your picture taken? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that, because when I updated my passport recently, they're now letting you submit selfies. So you can take your phone and take your own picture.
Right.
And if it qualifies, like it meets the criteria for size and image and background and all that stuff, you submit that for your application, they'll take it online.
So then why do you have to go to get your...
So what I saw when I was doing this research was they do need some form of ID, and they're saying bring in a birth certificate. It's not photo ID, but bring your birth certificate and we will use that to get you an Ontario photo card. Okay, so I said to the lady, I'm talking about the 90-year-old man. I said, where was your dad born? Former Yugoslavia, 1933. Like, all right, forget it, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to work.
Nope.
I mean, an Ontario birth certificate, maybe. With respect to people from Yugoslavia.
It's a reflection of the government in the way that they kept or didn't keep records.
Yeah. So it's a problem. This is a problem. This man has some money. It's going to be probated if we don't move it. And I said to the lady, who is an only child, it's important to understand, this lady is an only child. I said, there's two ways to do this. A, get a photo card, which now I realize is going to be very difficult in more ways than one, because dad, like I said, lacks mobility, doesn't want to go, isn't interested, and probably doesn't have his Yugoslavian birth certificate from 1933. And probably wouldn't be accepted anyway, even if he did. I don't know for sure on that. Or plan B, we put the money in your name. You get dad to write a check to you. You put that money in your bank account. And then you write a check payable to the insurance company. And we set up the account. And that's that. She's like, well, I don't know about that. I'm like, well, A, you're his only child. And B, it's not like you're stealing his money, right? Like, if he needs something, you're going to take care of him. He's living with her in her house. She's already taking care of him. So what difference does it make? You know, I mean, I said, and the clock's ticking here. He's not well. And if we don't move it, it is going to be probated. There's no doubt in my mind, because I'm seeing accounts with much less money in them get probated. Had a conversation about that with a caller recently who was furious at the bank was requiring probate on a sum less than 50K. I guess I'll talk about this. Well, since I got there already, the 50K is the threshold for the province of Ontario. The province does not require any probate fees to be paid on sums less than 50K. So the bank has discretion. They can say, we don't care about the province. We're protecting our backsides here. So even though it's only, I can't remember the sum in this case, it was 40-something, I think, or maybe it was 38. Doesn't matter. But I know it was less than 50K. That's the point. And the bank was making this gentleman go through the probate. I suggested what I always suggest when I hear these stories, book a meeting with the branch manager. You got to book a meeting face-to-face. You go in, you tell your story. You offer to sign a letter of indemnity releasing the bank of any liability, because that's what this is all about. The bank is worried that they're going to pay the money out to the wrong person and get sued. So even if it's 35 grand, they're still worried about it. And I guess I kind of understand that. But anyway, and he said he did that. He did that already. He offered it and they still said no. And I said, well, then there's nothing else you can do. You can walk away. You want to walk away from $42,000? That's an option. Or you can call Debbie Stanley at ETP Canada and get her to help you deal with the probate.
Yeah.
Because that's what she does.
Yeah.
As we heard earlier in the show, and we'll hear it again next week on episode 2 of Solving the Probate Puzzle. All right. I think we're getting out of time here, Mr. Walshen.
You make it sound like it's a Twilight Zone episode.
Now who's dating themselves? What was that guy's name? Alfred Hitchcock?
No, that's Rod Serling.
No, but didn't Alfred Hitchcock write it?
No, Rod Serling wrote it.
I thought Rod Serling was just the man, like...
He wrote it. He was the guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What did Alfred Hitchcock do? Made movies?
Yep. North by Northwest.
The Birds thing?
Vertigo.
No, the Birds thing was was Twilight Zone.
Nope. It was Alfred Hitchcock.
It was a little bit before my time. All right. Okay, let's wrap it up. That was a lot of information for this week on the Avoid Probate Show. So glad that you've joined us here this morning on AM 740. We will be back. I want to say thank you to Kelly for rocking it behind the glass. I've got little baggies of treats here because it was, what did I say? I don't have my note in front of me anymore.
Something jelly about, bean day.
No, but it was like jump on jelly bean or jump for jelly bean day or something. So, yeah, we'll have to let Kelly have some of the treats that are here in the studio. I didn't bring the avocados. I think it was also Avocado Day. We didn't talk about that. But thank you to Ted Walshen for his decades of radio excellence. And thanks once again to you, the listeners, for being here. Please join us next week. We'll do it again. We'll do it again next week. Ted, you good for next Sunday?
You bet. Have a nice week.
The first Sunday of August.
That's right.
Right? Okay. Time flies. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.